potential housing development on Block 33. I want to acknowledge the hard work and constructive input of Board Chair Helen Ying, Jesse Burke, Vice Chair, and other board members, Dan Lenzen, David Lycan, along with the Land Use Committee Chair, Zach Fruitengarden. We came together, we created a reasonable solution that's being brought to you today. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler, for your support and sponsorship of the amendment. Despite the ongoing deterioration of the neighborhood, crime, and homelessness issues, we believe we can deliver on the community's vision. We're a successful Portland-based housing operator and developer who's willing to make over $250 million investment in Old Town Chinatown. It's a catalyst development which we expect will be a big step forward in revitalizing this neighborhood. Our ask is simple, straightforward. Approve our proposed amendment as originally written and proposed to the neighborhood and agreed upon. An additional height of 75 feet up to 200 feet on one half of the block, along with the additional FAR, which will create a feasible project. If we're granted the amendment, it is important that it not be subject to further adjustment, so we will have the certainty needed to proceed. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Thank you for having me. My name is Daniel Caven. I'm providing testimony for 1C. I'm a partner at William Caven Architecture, a co-owner of Block 33, and an advocate and activist for dense urban living and affordable housing. If you get on your phone or you jump on a computer and search for Portland, the app will drop a pin 300 feet from Block 33. Not only is the block a central piece of historic Portland, but it continues to be the modern center of Portland. Renewed vitality in this recently struggling neighborhood is critical to not only those that currently live and work there, but to the entire metropolitan area. Portland's collective brand and reputation to the world at large is dependent on the success of this historic neighborhood. Over the last 3 years, we have worked hard to understand from our community what is important to them and bring a project to fruition that is representative of those desires. This is what we have learned along the way, and our current design and the changes being requested is a reflection of this ongoing discussion. The block west of this street, to the west of our property, is zoned for heights up to 460 feet at 9-1 FAR. It is the community's desire to taper the height down to 4th Avenue from the 460-foot potential on 5th Avenue. Housing requires slender building profiles in order for increased access to light and air. As such, we have conceptually masked the building in a tapered manner. We need to be able to build to 200 feet on the west side of the site and a minimum of 125 on the east side of the block. It is our desire and the neighborhood's to bring as much housing to the neighborhood as the market will bear. In order to make the project work financially, we need both expanded height and FAR. Regardless of the economics of the project, the numbers of units is staggering between 200 feet and 160 feet at a loss of 72 units, 15 of which would be affordable. At only 125 feet, we would lose 144 units, 29 of which would be affordable. Yeah. We recently withdrew our land use application and submitted prior to the creation of the design guidelines, and we are committed to working with Landmarks Commission to realize a design that works within the guidelines. We do need from council surety that your vested decision on height and scale of the buildings is not going to be second-guessed by the Landmarks Commission. Before we spend a tremendous amount of money on the design of the building, we need to know for sure that our discussion with Landmarks is limited to the contextual conditions of the materials of the building and not how many housing units we are able to build on the property. Ultimately, it is my belief that your goals and our goals are mutually aligned. We are a part of a larger team that is tasked with executing the mission of not only council's goals, but the entire community's to solve a housing crisis. But we need to be equipped with the right tools to get the job done. Just as the police force needs more boots on the ground and PDOT needs more asphalt for potholes, we need the tools to get the job done in our community. And they are. A reasonable amount of height on our block, 200 feet on the west of the block, 125 on the east, the same FAR that is across the street from us, 9-1, and surety that we can build to those standards prior to getting started. Thanks for your time. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have. I have a couple of visuals, if they're helpful also, of the massing.
It'd be helpful.
Okay. You stand up?
Sure. So that's the massing diagram.
And could you speak into the microphone, please? Just because we're on the record. Four. Thanks.
One of the things I wanted to bring attention to is that in regards to what Tim was mentioning about the application for the historic district and there being tall buildings in the application, the other thing is historically the north part of the historic district has been zoned to 350 feet and 9-to-1 FAR. That's been the case for a long time and still is until the comp plan is in place. And the Department of Interior knew that, I assume, when they made the application. And so this shows you our property and what we're talking about in line with the other buildings here. The Pacific Tower is almost as tall, and it already exists and has so for a long time.
Is this at 200 feet, the scale you've drawn?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, that's very helpful. But, Tim, before we lose you, now I'm a little confused. The mayor has placed an amendment on the table to increase the height to 160. The testimony that we've just received is that you need 200 feet. So I'm a little confused. Do you support the mayor's amendment?
As I said initially, we support the amendment with adjustments. And the adjustments are the three things that the neighborhood and the property owner requested, which is 200 feet on the west side of the block, higher FAR to match the additional height, and a clear message to Landmarks Commission that this is the outline of the development. It is not to be reduced by a discretionary process.
I'm not the brightest bulb up here, but what you just said is that you don't support the mayor's amendment.
Yes, that was a no.
So that's a no. I want to give you an opportunity to be as clear as you want.
Let's be clear. I don't think
it'd be clear that we would support it with amendment. Thank you.
We don't have the right to change land use decision-making processes like that.
Like what?
Like telling the Landmarks Commission that they can't consider various things.
Well, respectfully, you have commissioned a report which came back and recommended exactly that policy to you. You have the authority to do that because you have the authority to write the rules. It's well within your prerogative to do so.
We'd have to rewrite the rules. Okay, good.
Well, I mean, the problem we're all facing, all of us that work in design review and support it, is that the state legislature, when it comes to housing, has made design review illegal throughout most of the state. What has preserved is design review in the central city and design review in historic districts. But if that proves to be a policy that leads to the loss of housing opportunity, I suspect the statute will change again and we'll lose the ability to apply design review. It's an important, I think, consideration for all of us.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. Next three, please.
Brianna Murtaugh, Joseph Schaefer, Helen Ying. They'll be followed by Jesse Burke, Tom Clark, and David Lycan.
Hi, my name is Brianna Murtaugh. I'm the project manager with Guardian for Block 33. Nearly 2 years have passed since we acquired Block 33. In that time, construction projects in Portland have seen cost escalation between 8 and 15%, interest rates have climbed by 130 basis points, and inclusionary housing has been implemented. The 2035 plan adjusted the height on Block 33 to 125 feet instead of the 150 that was originally supported by the neighborhood. Construction cost and interest rate increases are something developers regularly have to contend with, but I think it's important to mention the impact of inclusionary housing specifically. Inclusionary housing permanently reduces the value of the project somewhere between $17 and $25 million, depending on which affordability option is selected. This makes the project increasingly difficult to finance, as institutional equity can invest anywhere in the country and not incur that type of valuation impairment. Block 33 has specific fixed costs and challenges. Subterranean parking is a critical concern of the neighborhood. Future development of parking in the area is limited due to the contributing buildings in the rest of the historic district. There are additional excavation costs on our site because we're directly adjacent to the Max line on 5th, and increased dewatering costs due to the proximity to the river. The purchase price was a fixed cost set by an appraisal. As Tim mentioned, the value is based on its value as a parking lot. Why can't we build a shorter and smaller building? Wood frame construction would certainly be cheaper, but it's limited to 85 feet, about 7 stories. This would knock several residential floors off the building and make the project totally infeasible due to the fixed costs that I've mentioned. To build over 85 feet, steel and concrete framing is required. Steel and concrete is about 30% more expensive than wood framing. On a total project basis, this translates to about a 15% cost increase. So by adding an 8th floor to the project, you're increasing the cost of the entire development by 15% or more. To balance this cost increase, you obviously need to add more than just one additional story. Each additional floor adds rentable square footage that incrementally helps to offset the overall cost increase to that base building cost. The implementation of inclusionary housing reduces the impact of this offset, requiring additional rentable square footage to make the project pencil. 125 feet simply doesn't get us there.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My name is Joseph Schaefer. I'm a land use planner here on behalf of Guardian and the ownership group. And I would like to respond to a couple questions that have been raised in the earlier testimony. First, to follow up on Commissioner Udaly's questions about the status of the historic district. The city council decides if the historic district is going to be de-designated. So I want people to understand that, you know, this is not something that's likely to be pulled out from underneath you unknowingly.
That's not my understanding.
That's true. We don't say whether it gets in. I don't think we say whether it goes out.
Well, that's not my understanding. So,
thank you.
Okay. And then the second comment I'd like to make is questions have come up regarding why the tapered height, why taller on the west side, why lower on the east side of the block. And when we saw the proposal for the north end of the district to be at 160 feet, you know, we talked about that. And our thought and Daniel's thought as the architect was, rather than have a uniform height across the block when we have 460 feet across the street on one side and just 100 feet across the street on the other side, that it would be better to come to the city and ask for a tapered if you have 200 on half the block and 125 on half the block, you're at about 160 overall. So that's our design thinking about that. The last comment I'd like to make is in response to Commissioner Fish's questions about what we're proposing. So I'm going to run off some numbers and I'll get them in the record for you before you vote. The proposal that you saw on the board here from Daniel has 342 apartments in it. At 80% of mean family income, that would mean 68 affordable apartments. If we went to the 60% of mean family income, that would be 34 affordable apartments. And this, of course, is the math under the inclusionary housing. That's at a 12-to-1 floor area ratio. At 9-to-1 floor area ratio, the overall number of apartments drops to 198. The number of affordable apartments at 80% drops to 39, and at 60% of mean family income drops to 19. Under the current 6-to-1 FAR, if the retail and the commercial tower on the east remain, we're down to just 54 apartments. So we ask you to support housing, support an FAR increase in addition to a height increase that actually allows the units to get built. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your testimony. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. So I'm going to come with two different hats on today. First as, my name is Helen Ying, by the way.
Thank you.
First as the chair of the O-Town Community Association. And then I'm just going to make a few comments after I read this letter to you as a Chinese American in the community. So first I'm going to just read this letter from our community association. Block 33, located between Northwest 4th and Northwest 5th Avenues and Northwest Cooch and North Davis Street, represents a potentially catalytic development site for our neighborhood. The community has been discussing the significance of this block for over a decade and have had several potential starts and stops with previous property owners and developers. The last real opportunity for this block was the siting of Yuaji Maya. It was clear that the success of this potential development was dependent on receiving additional height over the currently zoned height limit of 100 feet. All of the preliminary designs drawings had a potential height of 165 feet across the entire block to make this project financially feasible. Unfortunately, due to the timing of the project along the downsizing of Yuaji Maya, this project never materialized. Understanding the significance of this block, the community association fought for additional height and FAR during the Central City 2035 West Quadrant process, which we knew were key to ensuring its success. We were clear that in exchange for this additional height and FAR, the developer needed to provide much needed market rate and middle income housing units and ensure that the development helped protect preservation of the historic resources in a new Chinatown, Japantown historic district. We felt so strongly about this that we tied our support to additional height and FAR to the development and implementation of design guidelines for the district. The district now has adopted new design guidelines, and the final draft Central City 2535 plan gives this block a height limit of 125 feet with base FAR of 6-1 and available bonuses of 3-1 FAR. Tom Brennecke, the developer and property owner of Block 33, recently approached the community association to discuss a request for an amendment to the Central City 2035 plan that would greatly increase his odds of creating an economically viable mixed-use housing development in the near term. In our discussion with Mr. Brennecke and his design team, we've come to appreciate that rising construction costs, coupled with inclusionary housing requirements, have created a set of circumstances that have once again rendered a potential development on Block 33 economically infeasible. Mr. Brennecke and his team have proposed an amendment to the Central City 2035 plan that would provide for additional height on a portion of the block and additional FAR for the entire block. This will allow the height on the east half block.
I don't want to be rude, but I notice you're halfway through the letter and your 3 minutes has expired. Is somebody else going to read the second half, or will you just trust that we will read
So I'm just going to stop where I am there on the letter and just want to ask that you would consider providing the tools for the development of this block. And I'm just going to make a really quick few comments as a Chinese American in the community. That is, I am involved in this community because I value and treasure the history of this neighborhood and what it represents in my own history during the time when my grandfather was in this country. And what the dark side of that part of this history and how we need to look at, how to... I think one of the landmark commissioners mentioned it earlier, how to... allowed people in the Chinese and Japanese community to feel valued. But at this time, the way Chinatown and Japantown sits, even my own children, they have a hard time wanting to come into the area. That does not help to pay respect to the community. We need to find a way to make this area thrive and economically viable for the Chinese businesses that are there.
Thank you. Appreciate your leadership. Thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, Commissioner Saltzman.
So, Helen?
Yes.
Is the Old Town Chinatown Community Association supporting the modifications suggested by Mr. Ramos?
I apologize. I didn't quite hear everything you said.
Are you supporting, is the Old Town Chinatown Community Association
is
supporting the modifications to the amendment that Mr. Ramos has suggested?
Yes, I personally support it, and Old Town Chinatown Community Association also support it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I'm sorry to be the microphone police, folks, but we have lots of people signed up to testify, and I want to make sure that everybody's voice gets heard. Next three, please.
Next three, Jesse Burke, Tom Clark, David Lykin. They'll be followed by Dan Lenzen, Doug Klotz, and Peter Englander.
Good afternoon.
Hi. My name is Jesse Burke. I'm here with the Old Town Community Association, but also the Society Hotel, as many of you know. So on behalf of the Old Town Community Association, I wanted to reiterate maybe what many of my colleagues are going to say, which is we do care about preservation and the historic neighborhood and the integrity of these old buildings. I can assure you I've restored one, and it is a painful process, but we did it. However, as it stands now and our policies stand now, we are failing in Old Town. This in part because development is incredibly expensive now. It wasn't necessarily when I started my project, but those costs have increased drastically. And in part because of the restrictions we put on properties and districts, we have entire blocks, entire with empty storefronts in Old Town. I know you've seen it on walks with us. In our block where the Society Hotel is, the entire rest of the block is empty. If you go to 4th Avenue between Cooch and or between Davis and Everett, almost the entire block face is vacant. So we have empty storefronts, unsafe structures, and even our current small property owners, just individuals, cannot afford to improve their buildings because of the cost of constructions and restrictions placed on them. The reason you need to have more height or more space is because you need square footage to generate revenue to pay for the debt that you just incurred to improve your building. Old Town buildings are blighting, businesses are struggling, and because there are so few residents, and know that our current residents are begging for more market rate housing. We currently have 59 units in all of the Chinatown, Japantown area. Old Town is larger, so know that there are not that many, a lot of extremely affordable housing. Old Town is better known for lawless behavior than our rich history. In short, we're finding that our attempt at perfection is becoming the enemy of good. As the owner of the Society Hotel, I'm also a small business owner in the neighborhood. I have a coffee shop in the Kenton neighborhood in North Portland, too, which I've seen several of you there before. And we're in the middle of a residential area. We're busy all the time because people live there. In contrast, in Old Town, our coffee shop is somewhat busy during the work week and dead on weekends and in evenings. Old Town's business community talks constantly about every day that more residents don't live there. We have to work extra hard to make our businesses a destination. This project would provide a great number of residents with enough disposable income to patronize our businesses on a regular basis because it's their neighborhood spot. If we truly care about preservation and housing and economic vitality, I ask that the city get a little more creative. We can't predict the future. We don't know what pitfalls may arise with any of these decisions, but being purist isn't working in this neighborhood. These businesses are struggling. This district has been dying for years. So I implore you to take a chance and help this neighborhood make this project happen by approving this amendment and whatever else they may be proposing. But the business community and the community association really support this project because we're dying.
Thank you.
Good timing.
Thanks.
Slightly depressing, but good timing. Thank you.
Hi, sorry.
Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Tom Clark. I am a neighbor of this project in two ways. I'm a partner in a firm that is in the building at 333 Northwest 5th with Clark Chose Architects. I'm an architect. I'm also a building owner. I own that same building, or I co-own it. I'm active in the Old Town Chinatown Community Association, particularly on the Land Use Committee. And I also participated in the updating of the design guidelines for the historic district. I want to just say that we, as property owners in the district, two blocks away, support this height increase, the full 200 on 5th Avenue, which is where we also exist. We support it because we really need to create a more active cultural district. We need to have activity on the streets. As Jesse just pointed out, there are dead zones in our neighborhood. This is one of them, and there are a few other ones. And what happens with the dead zones is those unoccupied areas are collection points and backwaters for people to collect undesirable people. And in particular, I'm referring to drug dealers and campers and others who really distract and turn away people who would be supporting businesses and coming into the district. This is no secret. You all know about this. This project could really bring life to our streets, and it could be, as it's been mentioned, a real catalyst to bring life to the streets, put people in the neighborhood, to support the neighborhood, and it would catalyze other things to happen afterwards. So I think this Old Town is really at a crossroads right now, as you're hearing. This could be a real game changer for us. So I'm going to talk also a little bit about the height. The height is not a problem if it's designed correctly, and you will get plenty of chances to look at the design of this building through landmarks and through design review. Design is how it can be made to be compatible. Having been involved with the guidelines, the design guidelines, the object is to be respectful of the neighborhood, not to imitate it, not to copy it, not to pretend we're back in the 19th century, but actually to simply be compatible. And there are many ways that the building will be able to be compatible through scaling elements at the sidewalk, through use of materials that are compatible, rhythms of window openings, cornice lines, all kinds of things. So we strongly support support this project and encourage you to support it to the full 200 feet of height on Fifth. And like I say, we'll have plenty of opportunity to make it right as it goes forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz.
Mr. Clark, is your building a historic building or a contributing building?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Is the building that you co-own, is it a historic building or one that contributes?
It is not. It is not. Built in 1925.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Next three, please.
Dan Lenzen, Doug Klotz, Peter Englander. They'll be followed by Caitlin Weber, Jackie Peterson-Loomis, and Simon Jaworski.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hello, my name is Dan Lenzen. I'm an employer, property owner, and developer in Old Town and four other states over the last 30 years. So I speak from some experience with where this project's gone. So I'm going to speak to an anecdotal situation that we had in historic Lower Denver. If you're familiar with that development near the train station, it's historic. It was embattled. It went through the same processes on height. Ultimately, it was the area eventually got scraped. The trains and buses, transportation was put underground. My restaurant was the first to go into that neighborhood and under a temporary certificate of occupancy in the building. So if that gives you an idea, there's nobody in the neighborhood. So the business was pretty slow. Once people moved in, business went up. So the anecdote to this is, this is what's going to happen. People will come to our neighborhood. They will live in our neighborhood, and it'll thrive. So I'm a proponent of the amendment.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Doug Klotz. I'm speaking on Amendment 1C. I do support the amendment. I think the way the height change is designed is a wise move. The block to the west has a much higher height, and so it makes sense for this to be a step up. The additional height will allow the bulk of the building to be shifted to the west and respect the lower buildings on 4th Avenue. Going into a couple other issues, there was a discussion previously about what are the council can add conditions, subtract conditions. It seems to me that council went through a lot of this on the 12th and Ankeny building, where it was appealed to you from Planning Commission. I don't know if that makes a difference, but the council crafted the design basically on that. So I don't think it's unprecedented for the council to put conditions on an approval, say, you know, or send the applicant back to come back with changes. That said, we're running up against the tension between the height and FAR that's allowed and the Landmarks Commission's charge to make it compatible. It's interesting that Commissioner Minor mentioned the Grove Hotel. My understanding is that what happened on the Grove Hotel is the Landmarks Commission was saying it has to be much lower, and the applicant said, okay, we're done here. I'm going to take it to council. We can just stop this hearing right now. And that after that, then there was a change in the tenor, and the extra height at the Grove Hotel got approved. I may be a little inaccurate on that, but I think that's the gist of what happened there. And this is the same situation we are facing here, and I think that's what Mr. Ramos was referring to, is trying to get ahead of that dynamic and say, okay, let's just see what the council feels, because ultimately the council will be the decision maker if it gets referred here. So that's what you got before you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi, I'm Peter Englander. I'm on the board of the Old Town Chinatown Community Association, and I do that as representative of Dead Stock Coffee. Dead Stock Coffee is right across from the subject block. I'm full support of the Old Town Chinatown Community Association letter as it's been submitted to you, so I'm not going to reread it or reiterate the issues, and I've been raising my thumb, and I want to make a few more points as well. The points that have been made about the surface parking lot, I want to emphasize that a little bit more, because I want you all to know that this is one of the most profitable, if not the most profitable, surface parking lots in the city. Why? Because of this gentleman and his colleagues and the businesses that they run on the weekends. And so that full service parking lot does a great business on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night, as well as completely during the day. So when you've heard comments about, I can just hang on to this as a service parking lot, I want you to strongly, strongly consider that. You've heard about the historic guidelines, which you've recently adopted. You've heard about threats to the historic district. In all of that, I encourage you to also look into how many districts have been delisted nationwide. And I also want you to consider that, because you have these guidelines, and I don't know the status of the guidelines in Skidmore, but I'm sure you're doing those as well. You didn't have those before. So there's a level of certainty that those guidelines provide. You've got a Landmarks Commission to maintain them. Commissioner Fish, you made a comment about the Grove Hotel and its ability to be able to exist or to develop and do very well and sell for a lot of money. It's selling for a lot of money because it's a hotel. It's a high-end hotel. We're talking about housing on this block that will include inclusionary housing, and this is also a neighborhood with one of the highest, if not the most highest, concentrations of low-income housing in the neighborhood, which we love and embrace. I want to speak to the datum and fairness issue that was discussed at the beginning. The other block is right across the street from the Chinese Garden. This one is not. So although I can understand that idea, you have other considerations with something next to a very important asset to our city. Those are the major points I wanted to make. The last thing I wanted to do is read you a quote from the guidelines, from the historic guidelines for this district, because I think it's important. And as I understand the guidelines, they don't address height very specifically, but they do say this in the vision statement, and I think it's a great vision statement. It's only a sentence. New buildings have the traditional base level that blends well with older buildings. Base level. That doesn't mean the entire building. It doesn't mean the entire height. But it does mean at the base level. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks to all three of you. Thank you. Next three, please, Sue.
Caitlin Weber, Jackie Peterson-Loomis, Simon Jaworski, and then our final speaker will be Lincoln Tukau.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Councilman. My name is Jackie Peterson-Loomis. I'm the Executive Director of the soon-to-open Portland Chinatown Museum, which we hope will also be a very important resource for the neighborhood. I don't know if Fred Wong is still here, but this is a thriving community from a different perspective. There are still 11 Chinese property owners in the neighborhood and two Chinese groups who are buying two more. Most of them never even understood that they had potential tax credits from the historic district. All of the non-Chinese property owners who owned north of Everett, where they got the city gave them very high heights, they took their cash tax credits, and they're about or have expired. So I am willing to support potentially the 60-foot height, but in my heart, I think that it's injurious and I think it's unfair. At the very least, even to see that this would be even considered when you haven't seen a design, you haven't seen renderings, you have not seen any kind of, elevations. I mean, this is unheard of. I mean, this is stunning to me. I mean, because they could take this and run and say, I'm going to sell this building because now I've got 160-foot or 200-foot height. You've now quadrupled the value of the property, and we have been promised nothing. Nothing. And so I don't even understand this. But let me just say that a whole bunch of other things here that come to mind. It is true that the Old Town Chinatown Community Association and the Old Town Business Association want this. Well, they're one and the same. This is no longer part of ONI. This is not a neighborhood association. This is one of Portland's four or five business associations. So of course they're concerned with business. I have a theory about dead zones. I want you to think about Big Pink and think about Pacific Towers and tell me how they revitalized their neighborhoods. Instead, they created a dead zone at the bottom, and they're still there. I don't see, frankly, you look at the Pearl. They developed kind of like this. At first, the developers, they took old buildings, they renovated them, people wanted to live there. Then people, they got businesses to support the residents, and then they built up and they can tolerate it. I don't see how a tall building here is going to do anything other than create another dead zone at the base of it, and then we will have destroyed the sight lines altogether. The buildings on Fifth Avenue on the other side are gorgeous. They're part of this district. I mean, I just, I want to be supportive, but I want to say to you that having worked with the Chinese community for the last 20 years and the Japanese community as well, that this is part of the city's legacy, and this is your opportunity, as Matthew said so eloquently before, this is your opportunity to leave a legacy for future generations in this city about the earliest and largest ethnic community coming to Portland and living here and succeeding without any opportunity for citizenship or property rights for 80 years. I think you owe it to them. Please save this district. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Caitlin Weber. I'm here representing Restore Oregon, and I'm speaking on Amendment 1C. I'm delivering this testimony on behalf of our executive director, Peggy Moretti, who couldn't be here today. Restore Oregon strongly urges City Council to reject the proposed zoning amendments for Block 33 in Portland's new Chinatown Japantown Historic District. As an organization whose mission is to save historic places that for many years was housed near the district and also served on the committee that created the district's design guidelines, we believe both the city and the neighborhood have been sold a bogus bill of goods. Claims that the developer cannot make money at the current 125-foot height lacks credibility. Numerous other projects have been able to pencil out at even lower heights, such as Goodman's project about to break ground a few blocks away, a project that was enthusiastically supported by the Landmarks Commission at 75 feet, and includes significant numbers of affordable and market-rate housing. Even at 125 feet, designing a building that is compatible with the district and tells its story will be very challenging. This is a tiny district, basically just two blocks by five blocks. At 125 feet, Block 33 will overshadow historic buildings. To go even taller will swallow them whole. It's not possible to design a 160-foot or 200-foot building to be compatible with two- and three-story historic buildings or to incorporate design elements that reflect the district's cultural identity. The very proposition that the city would circumvent the Landmarks Commission and our well-established proven system of review is a travesty and would set a horrible precedent. The property owner displayed great disrespect by claiming that the Chinatown, Japantown is being treated as a special class of one. It's being treated the same way we treat all our historic districts, as unique and irreplaceable assets that are worthy of protection and stewardship. If council were to set aside our historic review process and undermine the authority of the Landmarks Commission in this case, it will open the doors to many more. Finally, why would we sacrifice our standards when we have absolutely no guarantee of what would be built, how it would look, and nothing to prevent the sale of the property for a quick profit thanks to its special entitlements. We appreciate how desperately the neighborhood needs market rate housing, but this claim that it's 200 feet or nothing is disingenuous at best when there are so many examples to the contrary. Restore Oregon encourages council to look for other ways to stimulate development on this site that will provide housing while also maintaining the integrity of Portland's only historic district honoring ethnic history. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
My name is Simon Jaworski. I'm a longtime resident of Portland, Oregon, and a former PCC student. I just got my general studies degree. And I totally disagree with this amendment. I mean, these developers are trying to do is cram more and more people downtown, and we've got bad enough congestion as it is. And I agree with the other two speakers. You know, I really don't think it's going to help the business there much anyways, you know. Port downtown is a prime business district. You know, I don't think we need more housing. We need more business, like it's always been in the past 100 years ago. If these developers, you know, are so worried about cost, why don't they just build a little bit farther outside of town? There's a lot of prime real estate out in the suburbs along the Mats line. It would be an excellent place to build. There's a lot of vacant lots there. It would be cheap. They'd be able to hop right on the Mats and come right downtown. You know, that would be much more economic sense. You know, if they're trying to save money, build farther out. You know, they could build it. They could build a much save the money and build a much nicer building, more taller, and you know, have amenities like coffee shops out there and grocery stores and restaurants. I've seen it. You know, Beaverton Round is one example. They have a fitness center right across from that. You know, and the Max just stops right in front of it. So you know, I don't agree with. And building taller buildings is just, you know, it wrecks the historic view of Portland. You know, if you're living, or even if you're just looking downtown, you know, if you're surrounded by buildings, you don't see the beautiful mountains around or the scenery that Portland is seems to be famous for. So I don't agree that we should, you know, be building taller and taller buildings. You know, I'm totally against this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, all three of you. Next three, please.
Our last speaker is Lincoln Tukau.
Last but certainly not least.
Good afternoon, Mayor and afternoon. City Council members. My name is Lincoln Tukau with the Architectural Heritage Center. I'm also a real estate agent here in town. I don't have a beautifully elaborate planned out speech prepared, but I would like to just say that I am opposed to the amendment to increase the height limits to 165 feet for part of the block, 33. When you look like at Google view of this block from above, you can, and when you do the street view, and when you walk it, you see that it's really in the heart of Chinatown and the historic district, and you see surrounded on all sides, you see 2- and 3-story brick stone buildings, historic buildings. And when I saw the first rendering by the architects, which has since been pulled back, but of this giant glass and steel tower that was towering above the rest of the neighborhood, I thought, wow, that's incredibly out of character with the neighborhood, both historically, culturally. And I realize we're not talking about that today, but I just think that obviously, the developer needs, it has to be able to turn a profit. The development has to be viable financially, and nobody wants to deny them that right. But in so doing, we want something that is historically contextual to the neighborhood. I think everybody would like that, whether that be incorporating brick, stone, wrought iron, other things like that. So there is one building that's nearby. It, again, not a perfect building, but the Fifth Avenue Court Apartments, if you know them, they're a kitty corner to that. They have brick on the ground level. They have some stone work on the corners. There's some hand railings of, like, iron type. I think a building can be built there that will both fulfill the historic nature of the neighborhood, provide housing on the upper floors, retail on the main, and could help revitalize the neighborhood. And I don't think it has to be an either-or thing. I think we can have a win here for everybody. But I think a giant 165-foot glass and steel tower
with only market rate apartments above, it's probably not the answer. So thank you very much, and I appreciate the ability to testify before you today.
Thank you. Appreciate your testimony. So that concludes our oral hearing on these particular amendments. Colleagues, I don't know if you wanted staff to come up now. Commissioner Fritz?
Yeah, I have some questions.
Commissioner Fish as well, please.
Mayor, is it still your intent to take a vote on A and B and to set over C?
That is correct. We're going to take votes on A and B, which pertain to the public school issues, and C will has already been scheduled for the April 4th hearing, and I'll make that announcement in a few minutes.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Also. Oh, sorry. Commissioner Saltzman.
I'm just procedurally, if we want to move an amendment to your amendment on Block 33, does that need to happen today?
Hang on, Dan. We're looking at legal counsel for a minute.
That's really a question for council. I mean, it can happen today, whether it needs to happen today. If it doesn't happen today, you're likely to have the April 4th and then another hearing after, another continuance after that. So,
I had a hard time hearing the last part of your
statement. I'm sorry. I think it's really up to you, Commissioner Saltzman, if you have something that you want to put on the table for people to testify about, because there's a two-week open testimony period, it may be a good idea to put it out there so people can respond to it, but it's really up to council whether you want amendments to the amendments.
Well, council, in effect, we've already had testimony in support of that quote amendment. That was some of the confusion because we've had people saying that they support the amendment, but they actually meant 200 feet, not as written. So you could say that putting that amendment on the table conforms to the evidence we've already heard and presents gives the council two options. I don't know that I support the amendment, but we already have had testimony in support of the amendment, in effect.
Well, I'm not going to presume I know amendment? What Commissioner Saltzman's amendment is. Commissioner
Well, my amendment would be to increase the height to 200 feet, increase the FAR, and to limit the discretionary review to contextual issues. So basically what Mr. Ramos suggested would be my proposed amendment.
So I have a question about the proposed amendment, and I'm looking at legal counsel. I do not want to take my amendment off the table, so this would be a separate amendment. It is not an amendment of my amendment. This would be a separate amendment.
Yes, you would not. It sounds as if you're not treating that as a friendly amendment to your amendment. So
I would
be
like
separately
to keep mine live.
Okay.
I want to keep my options open. So Commissioner Saltzman has moved. Is there a second? I'll move for discussion purposes. I'll second that.
I would simply say that I was persuaded. I mean, I think it's pretty unusual for the Landmarks Commission to sort of announce ahead of time that they would not approve a proposal that reflect higher height. And I think that I'm persuaded by the testimony that in order to maximize the number of affordable housing units in this proposal, 200 feet does that. And I think it does provide a good taper down from the 460 feet north of the proposal to 200 feet to then 125 feet. So I think that makes a lot of sense. But I do think the additional height and FAR are necessary to maximize the affordable housing units that will be developed on this, under this proposal.
We're not voting on the amendments
today.
No,
that is correct.
So, Mayor, can I just so I can keep this clear,
Fish.
My understanding now, since you seconded it, is that when we come back to vote on C, we'll have two amendments before us. Let's call them C1, which is the Wheeler Amendment, and C2, which is the Saltz Amendment. Joe, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And to be clear, just for the record, I still like my amendment, and I'm seconding Commissioner Saltzman's amendment for discussion purposes. So,
Commissioner Fritz, you have questions of staff? I do too. I would like to follow you.
Thank you. So I understand that this the mayor's amendment was just put on the table yesterday at 1:30. Is that correct?
Yes, we just published the amendment yesterday.
So, and I had been getting testimony on it, but I didn't know there was an amendment, so I was frankly bemused and thought perhaps that the Block 33 discussion was for something else. I'm wondering, have the property owners in the historic district, both the historic buildings and the contributing buildings, have they been notified of this amendment?
We did not send out any special notice to property owners. We did send to our Central City 2035 mailing list, but we did send notices at the beginning of this process, and so if they were following along, they...
I think an argument could be made that this is a Measure 65 issue, that potentially their properties could be diminished in value if the historic district goes away, so I think that that's something that we'll need to get clarity on before the next hearing. I also have... Did you have questions on this, on the height...
Yes.
Go ahead then.
Okay, thank you. Joe, I have a question for you. And I guess I just want to know the lay of the land on this. Mr. Ramis, in his testimony, toward the end of his testimony, seemed to suggest or imply that we could put some conditions on this. So to what is the scope of our authority to put any conditions on this?
You know, I think the conditions language, when I heard that testimony, I think it's conflating quasi-judicial and legislative, but we can construct code provisions that, for instance, function in some way like a condition, but conditioning of an approval is a quasi-judicial thing typically. A good example, though, of how it might work in a case like this is... if the interest was to make sure that the benefit of the additional height and additional FAR was linked to housing, you could make it a bonus, and it, you know, have the trigger for the bonus be the provision of inclusionary housing, a program like that. That's a more legislative tool to condition something, but it doesn't.
So between now and when we come back, could you send me some more information on that?
Sure.
About how it could be constructed as a bonus or alternative option. I'd like to have a better understanding of that.
And the conditions that you're interested in mostly are assuring residential development as part of the project.
I'm interested in understanding that question and making sure that if there is a majority support on the council that we actually get housing. But so I'm interested in that mechanism. I haven't made up my mind on the amendment.
Got it.
I would like to know about that tool. I actually think this has been one of the most interesting hearings we've had in a long time, and this is a very complicated question. I mean, but I thought the testimony and the record before us. I'm going to actually reread the record because I think it's so interesting. Before I make any decision, but let's go over a couple things. If we agree to the mayor's amendment, let's say, then we will be increasing the value of the property, correct? In other words, it will be entitled for greater height, so it has
arguably
more value.
Yes. It's, okay. Don't ask me to put a value on.
But generally, that. When we give people property
greater
owners,
allowances, should allow more development, should have greater value.
There is no guarantee in the matter that's before us that it will actually be developed. Correct.
Correct.
There is no guarantee that there will be any housing on this site. Correct.
Correct.
And if the developer chooses to develop this site because it's in a CX zone, the developer would have all those options that a CX zone allows.
Correct.
And what is the precedent that you can think of us under these circumstances bypassing the Landmarks Commission and actually having a request that we codify that as part of our action?
You know, that is the biggest change that we're discussing here, and goes to sort of the essence and essential element of how we are regulating historic properties in the city, which is that the Landmarks Commission has this discretion over reviewing the design of the building for compatibility and application of the standards, and that in that discussion, the way our code is written, they have the leeway to make disagree with design that could call for a building not to meet its full height allowance or full FAR allowance. That's the way our system is designed right now. So to usurp that kind of goes to the core of a landmark system is the landmarks commissioners were talking about.
Could I follow up on that?
Yeah.
Do we have a precedent for a commission announcing before they have a proposal before them that it's unapprovable?
It wasn't the question, and that wasn't what they said.
I thought that's what the testimony was. And I haven't seen the letter, so I'm at a disadvantage. But I thought that's what the testimony was.
I don't know the answer to your question, whether or not that's what happened, or for sure I'm not aware of any precedent for that.
Okay, well, if you could educate us on that between now and when we vote.
But I think there has been discussion in the past that we need to set heights that are realistic that could possibly meet the design guidelines, because if we were to say it could be 500 feet, is that feasible or not? It has to be. That's what we're talking about here, is providing some level of certainty for everybody that what is zoned and the height that's given might be approvable through design review.
So if I can just add to this, the way that we've addressed this issue and that way we're even discussing it in the DOZA project, the design overlay project, is, you know, we have two sort of paths. One's just design review, and then Landmarks Commission is for historic districts. Our desire is to clarify that leeway to do design review in a way that we'll put it on the table for City Council, but clarify that height and FAR are not really so much on the table for a design review piece, but we've left it on the table for historic landmarks review. And why would that be? Well, the case of the Menasche property and the case of what we've done with this entire process in the Central City speaks to, we designed a system that never calibrated our historic district's heights tightly. Like, if you were really to go through and do a case-by-case, building-by-building analysis about answering preemptively what that question is, what's the right height to make everything fit? That's not the way we've done it. We've done it by getting in the ballpark based on our historical analysis and also developing guidelines and going through design review process. So it allows both sides of the equation here more flexibility. And in some cases, we never went around and right-sized the heights, which is the issue in the northern part of Chinatown, Japantown. So in this process, that's why you've seen these heights being lowered in Central City Historic Districts. But we still brought them down to not a magic number that is so rigorous that it's not worth having Design Commission look at it. We left leeway for developers to make, and part of it was the history of this district, make a pitch to try and try to do through design, deliver a project that can work, because we're not prejudging that cannot happen, but we're counting on the Landmarks Commission to be our arbiter of it, and then eventually City Council. And so the same sort of policy decision that you're struggling with today could end up back in front of you on appeal, but that's how our system's designed.
But that's the
to
check
work.
And the balance.
Right. No, that's actually how our system works,
By the same logic, let's say that this council started having a well-documented view on some aspect of the zoning code, are we going to get to a point where an applicant comes before us and says, we'll dispense with City Council review and we'll just go to LUBA? I mean, it may be an imperfect system, but there are checks and balances. And the other day I was walking by the Jupiter Hotel, and I saw that building that they're constructing, which is their, I guess, convention center. You remember we had a very robust debate about that when it came from design review, because the design review commission had concerns about using roof tiles on the side of a building. Mm. Well, I was with a couple of people, and they looked up, and they just loved it. Now, it may not work. One of the questions design review commission had was, it may not be a durable product. I'm not sure it's going to end up being the preferred siding of every building in Portland. But in that building, it actually is quite distinctive. The City Council disagreed with design review commission on that, and our system allows for that. We wanted to give a developer a chance to try a one-off on this. I am concerned, though, about changing the rules just because we're anticipating a decision by a citizen body that the applicant may not agree with. I think that's a dangerous precedent.
Yeah, this, I want to second what Commissioner Fish said about this being one of the more interesting conversations we've had in here. I want to be very clear. I respect what the Historic Landmarks Commission is wanting to do here in terms of the Old Town Chinatown area. But I just want to put my own view on the table in terms of why I proposed the amendment I provided. It is not out of disrespect for that process or for their vision, but my belief is you cannot put these districts under glass and call it good. And the reality is, I was thinking about the last individual who testified. He gave really good, thoughtful testimony, and I've been letting it percolate through my